Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Record Club. It is me, your host, Sean. Oh, let me just tell you, before we get into this episode, before we talk about Prince and Dirty Mind, I will say this is the second time I'm recording this episode, because the first time, I guess everything was set up for Board Game Olympics, and for some reason, my audio was doubled, so it was like the craziest echo, and there's no way of fixing it. I tried, so we're gonna do it again. The shot's not as good as it was last time. The lighting's not as good, but the content will be better. I hope, and it won't be doubled. But the fact that I've done this twice now, I do know ahead of time that this episode will be blocked in some countries because the copyright claims on Prince's music. So that leads me to a question of when I uploaded it. One time I uploaded, I forget what album it was with the audio, but it was banned in Russia. It's like, okay, I don't know how many Russian fans we have a record club, so I don't know if it's really going to affect anything here. But this time, it's blocking in pretty much every country but the United States. So Canada, Australia, Sweden, the UK, all of those countries are blocked from this episode. But that leads me to the question of, okay, well, if it's blocked on the episode, should I just not have the music at all? Or should I go ahead as normal, play the music that we started doing, and then below it, this episode, will be the MP3 that anyone in any country can access? So does seeing me really matter? Or is it, you know what I'm saying? Is it better to see me and be blocked in some countries? Or is it better to just not have the music? I'm not sure. So what I'm going to do with this episode is I'm going to play it with the music this time. And in the comments, you guys can let me know. Those of you, I was going to put a poll out on Twitter, but I'm talking to a very small group of people where it's like, okay, you have to listen to Record Club weekly. And on top of that, you have to live in a country like Canada or something, which it's not that many people. There are some, I'm sure, and thank you. But so what would you like me to do in the future? I kind of feel like the audio thing below is probably the solution to go with. But you let me know. So we're just going to go ahead as planned. And now we're going to talk once again for me about Prince's Dirty Mind, the number 326 album of all time. Now, thank God I didn't have a guest on this week, because I would have been devastated if it was like Jenny came down or Rocco's dad or whatever. It just, God, I've worked so hard on the audio. I'm just such a bummer. But these things happen. I've had to record multiple episodes of Movie Club before, and he's got to go back and do it again. So this is part of it. So what I do have, though, I have notes that I've taken, but these are notes that Jenny has taken. And so I have that as a backup as well. So let's talk about Prince's Dirty Mind. Now, this is Prince's third album. I learned that he signed his record contract with Warner Brothers when he was 17. And he was very adamant about not being labeled as an R&B artist, which, most of the major record labels back in the 70s, if you were black and you signed a deal, you were an R&B artist, and that was pretty much it. And he was adamant that, no, he's a pop artist, because he thought that would give him more freedom to explore new sounds, which it definitely did. And this is not an R&B album. So, Prince, I would never think of Prince as an R&B artist. So definitely he made the right move. But how crazy is that, that he's 17 and willing to stand up to Warner Brothers Records and be like, no. Like he demanded things. Can you imagine demanding anything when you're 17? That's wild. I was driving here to record this again, and I'm listening to my songs on shuffle, and then this is a random tangent, but the band Silverchair came on, and I used to love that band back in the 90s or whatever. But all those kids, when they made that first album, they were 15. Like, how are you that prolific when you're 15 or 17 or how? You hear some of those songs on Frog Stomp from Silverchair. It's like, you're 15? They recorded the album in 9 days. That's crazy. Anyways, that's a tangent, but crazy, you know? So whenever a super young person is so talented and is so sure of themselves at a young age, I'm always impressed by that. Okay, so these songs were pretty much all done by Prince, obviously, but he did like everything. Like played every instrument, he engineered it. He recorded this all in his home studio. And that was on Lake Minnetonka, which I've never heard of, but he had a basement studio and recorded it there. Most of these songs were written while he was on tour with Rick James. So from what I understand, Prince released his second album, went on tour by himself, came home, and then was offered to open up for Rick James, which he did. Now, Rick James kind of fucking hated Prince. And I think it's kind of because Rick James's career was kind of on its way down, whereas Prince was on his way up. And, you know, Prince is singing about, as you see in this, like some pretty raunchy stuff, you know, and even made Rick James question stuff. So what? This is a Rick James quote about Prince. Prince is a mentally disturbed young man. He is out to lunch. You can't take his music seriously. He sings songs about oral sex and incest, which, as we'll learn in this album, is correct. He does do those things. You know, I think that I think as the tour went on, the crowd started coming more for Prince than Rick James. And as someone who is, you know, bring this kid along to open for you and you're seeing how big of a reaction he's getting and you're not getting that reaction, I could see why you hate him. Also, if you don't understand what he's doing, yeah, that must be frustrating. I also want to take a quick second and point out how much I love the term out to lunch for insulting someone. Like, oh, the guy's out to lunch. That is a classic old man insult. Oh, that's a good one. that's a good one. Okay. Now, not everything was recorded by Prince. And actually, there was Dr. Fink also got a songwriting credit for his funky synthesizer piano riffs that a lot of times he would work on with Prince. But most of this was all done by Prince. Now, what did we think of this album? That's the question. You know, the only other Prince album I ever listened to was Purple Rain, which we did earlier, and I really liked Purple Rain. It was like the perfect 80s album. This is, you know, released in 1980. This is the start of this new decade, and he releases this album, and it's fucking raunchy. Like, it's crazy how far he'll go and what he'll talk about. There's nothing off limits, so it seems, in this album. And this is such a departure from his first two albums. Like, he completely changed it up and started talking about everything. Like, everything taboo, he didn't care. And what really surprised me about this record was that, one, it was released. I mean, the fact that Warner Brothers let this come out with really just, like, no notes. Like, all right, yeah, release this. It's like, that's fucking crazy. Like, the things he's singing about, like, they didn't try to censor him, which I honestly respect. That's, you know, this was his last record on that contract. Like, yeah, go ahead, go. It's fine. Like, it's crazy. Although, when they sent the promotional CDs and records out to radio stations, it came with a warning label on it. Saying you should definitely listen to these songs before you put them on the air. Really listen to them. So they're like, hey, if you play this, if you play fucking Head on the radio, that is your problem. You did this. We tried to tell you. So, but yeah, super crazy that that happened. Again, thank you to my wife for sending me these notes. That was been incredibly helpful. So let's get into the first song, Dirty Mind. One last thing about me recording this episode again is that I got all those copyright claims and you know, blocks for different countries, and I cannot figure out how they could even figure out what the songs were. That was so wild to me. Once I realized that the audio was doubled, like, it didn't sound, it was like a mash of sounds, and the algorithm would still be able to figure out that was Dirty Mind by Prince. Dude, future's scary. Anyways, let's listen to a little bit of Dirty Mind. Here we go. We'll get there eventually. It's warming you up. Here we go. All right. Now, this is definitely a Prince sound, right? This sounds like Prince, for sure. Wait for him to sing. Wait for him to sing. Because that surprised me, this part. Oh, wait. Give me a second. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Now, it's interesting to me, listening to this, that Prince, who engineered this album under the pseudonym Jamie Starr, he engineered it, but he put himself, like, the vocals are so far back. It's like the keyboard or whatever written, the Dr. Fink keyboard, that's in front. And, like, he's kind of, like, it's weird to me. The vocals seem like it's, like, done in one take, which I guess a lot of this were, like, kind of demos, and then some, I forget who, someone listened to it, like, no, release this as is. Like, don't change it. But to me, I kind of wish Prince was up more, you know? Like, he's singing super high, and the falsetto is super high, and that's fine. I feel like he is too, the vocals are too far back, and I can't hear it as much as I would like to, I suppose. But that's just me. And what do I know? I'm just a guy. This was the third single on the album, and it's the first time a band member got a songwriting credit on one of his songs. So Dr. Fink, you did it. And fun fact, it was in the soundtrack of Cameron Crowe's 1984 comedy, The Wild Life, which I've never seen. Maybe one day I'll pick it for Movie Club. Who knows? So that's Dirty Mind. It basically talks about how, let's go to the lyrics. I have a couple lyrics pulled up from this album. Okay, just because they're so wild, especially later on, they get fucking crazy. There's something about you, baby, happens all the time. Whenever I'm around you, baby, I get a dirty mind. Doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter who's around. It doesn't matter. I just want to lay it down in my daddy's car. It's really you I want to drive. So he doesn't give a fuck. He sees this girl and it's like, yo, we got to do it now. I don't care. I don't give a fuck where we are. You know, I think that, you know, Prince later on, who became a Jehovah's Witness, I'm sure was probably maybe regretful of making this album because it is so raunchy. But at the time, he said, no, this is who I am. Like, this is, nothing here is made up. It's all just me, which I don't know if I believe all that, but this is what he's saying. You know, this whole album is pretty much talking about fucking and then heartache. So let's go to the next song. Oops. Let's go to the next song, which is When You Were Mine. Here we go. Oh, how good is that? Now listen to the vocals again. He's going to be in the back again. It just seems like the vocals were just thrown there last minute and no, like, they didn't, like, I don't know. That, I guess my real big complaint with this album, because overall, I would say I liked this album. I loved the runtime. 30 minutes. You kidding? That's a big fan of that. But I just feel like the vocals are just not polished. And I think that's what he was going for, but it just, that doesn't, it didn't work for me in this regard. And I can't really tell you why. But again, I'm just an idiot. He's Prince. I'm not going to criticize. I'm not going to say that Prince was wrong here. I'm just saying that for me, I just wish he was, did the audio a little differently. The vocals a little differently. This was not released as a single and was inspired, he was inspired to write this song while listening to John Lennon. So it doesn't really sound like a John Lennon song to me, but somehow Prince got this song from John Lennon. And Cyndi Lauper covered this song on her debut album and also performed it as at the 1985 American Music Awards. So, this song was also allowed Prince to cross over as a rock and roll songwriter. And it's about a love triangle, which I feel like a lot of these songs are kind of talking about love triangles or like cheating or, you know, you're with someone, you want to be with me, you know, that kind of stuff. So I kind of feel like the love triangle is maybe just kind of the theme of this album a little bit. All right, let's move on to the next song on this, Do It All Night. What could it be? I'm going to leave that up to you. Let's figure it out. God, he starts the song so fucking good every time though, right? I like this song. I really do like how there's only 8 songs on this album. They're all pretty short. This one, you know, 3 minutes and 43 seconds. It's short. It's just a fun time about banging all night, you know? It's just, and who, you know, Prince is all about that. Who's not all about that? So, you know, I just think that this is a, you know, I don't know. I kind of feel like this to me is like a classic Prince song. This is what I would have expected from Prince. Again, the vocals are a little further back than I would like. I'm going to stop saying that because you guys at this point get what I'm saying. But yeah, I think it's a good song. Now, so what we're talking about is Dirty Minds, When You Were Mine, Do It All Night. But now on the 4th song, he's got a broken heart again. So I don't know what happened after they did it all night. If it's about the same girl, there was a problem. And let's figure out what happened here. Okay, so he's got a, this is a more funky but laid, mellow song, more laid back. He got a broken heart again, you know? I think he put himself out there too much and maybe someone didn't reciprocate how much he was into them. You know, he's bummed. But something tells me that we're going to turn this all around when we get to Uptown. Let's find out. Which is the longest song on the album, 5 minutes and 32 seconds. Dude, I really love how he starts his songs. I really do. Okay, so that's Uptown. This song, it was the lead single from Prince's album, from this album. It addresses prejudices and racism, referring to Uptown as a metaphor for the ideal place that is free of such things. It's an area where one can be free to express oneself. Prince was very fond of that concept, and... This song opened up with, he opened this song, try it again. he went on tour and opened with this song. Yeah, I think it's the first time that he was really addressing like prejudice and stuff like that. And it's kind of just like, be who you want to be. Yeah, it's just like a nice, like Uptown. Let's go to Uptown where there's no hate. Uptown, if you've seen the show Schitt's Creek, it seems like that town, no one gives a shit about who you are. You be who you are and everyone's accepting of it. And that's not really an issue, you know. That's what I've gathered from the show. So that's kind of what Uptown is to me. Okay, now we are going to move along and get to the song Head. Now this song, interestingly enough, so all of these songs I'm talking, you know, on iTunes, Apple Music, maybe on Spotify or wherever you listen to your music, has the explicit E next to it. And most of these songs on this album have that. Two exceptions, When You Are Mine didn't have it and Head doesn't have it. So this song, no explicit stuff, but reading the lyrics, it's pretty fucking wild. So let's listen to a little bit of Head and we'll go through the lyrics. God, so funky. Okay. We won't go to the lyrics. Actually, we won't go to the song. I'll just tell you the lyrics. So this song is about, well, Head. But check it out. I remember when I met you, baby. You were on your way to be wed. You were such a sexy thing. I loved the way you walked, the things you said. I was so nonchalant, didn't want you to be misled. But I got to have you, baby. I got to have you in my bed. You said, I'm just a virgin and I'm on my way to be wed. You're such a hunk, so full of spunk. I'll give you head till you're burning up, head till you get enough, head till your love is red, head, love you till you're dead. So he finds this girl on her way to get married in her wedding gown and decides, I'm just going to go down on you for all time. I'm just going to never stop going down on you, apparently. The second chorus goes, you know you're a good girl. I think you like to go down. You wouldn't have stopped, but I came on your wedding gown. You said, I must confess, I want to get undressed and go to bed. With that, I jammed you, fool. You married me instead. So he just found this bride on her way to her wedding, went down on her, then came on her wedding dress, and then she married him instead. That's a fucking crazy song. What? This is wild. And again, not explicit, apparently, but Jesus Christ. That's some song, Prince. That's wild. So that's the song. That's the song Head. I don't know, man. It's fucking crazy. Now you think that's crazy. You think, Prince, you can't get crazier than that. We're going to go to the next song, which is only a minute and 32 seconds, but it's going to get a lot more wild. Here we go. Okay. Now, when I first heard that, and we'll get to the chorus, actually, one second. Here comes the chorus. Oh, wait, never mind. Take it back. There was more to it. Okay, so it starts off, and it's just, he's just going. He's just, the song is already started by the time you hit play. It's crazy. The lyrics I didn't even hear what they were saying until, we'll go back to the song right now, actually. I'm like, did I just hear the word incest? What the fuck? And so let's get to the word incest. It's kind of hard to understand what he's saying, right? Okay, it's coming up. Incest is everything it's said to be. So let's go in the lyrics and see, because I was listening to that with Jenny. What did he say? Then we had taken the kids to school. We were driving home from taking the girls to school, listening to this album. And then, like, what the fuck? And so she was reading the lyrics to me as we were driving home. And, like, we were both, like, what? Laughing. Like, what the fuck? Okay. I was only 16, but I guess that's no excuse. My sister was 32, lovely and loose. She didn't wear no underwear. She says it only gets in her hair, and it's got a funny way of stopping the juice. My sister never made love to anyone else but me. She's the reason for my sexuality. She showed me where it's supposed to go. A blowjob doesn't mean blow. Incest is everything it's said to be. Oh, sister, don't put me on the street again. Oh, sister, I just want to be your friend. I was only 16 and only half a man. My sister didn't give a goddamn. So this is crazy. He's talking about having sex with his sister who is 32. Now, I guess people looked into it and he does have a half sister. So when he was 16, she was 32. That is correct. However, apparently it has come out, according to her or her friend or someone, that they have never had sex, and this is just a song he wrote. He did live with her for a little bit, though. So did he want to have sex with her? Did he? Did he just write the song to be edgy and crazy? Like, I have no idea. Maybe we'll never know, but this song is fucking crazy. To sing about incest in such, like, a positive way, and everyone's, like, it just came out in 1980? That's fucking... What? Also, how fucking pissed are you if you're his half-sister? Like, are you fucking serious? Now, whether it happened or not, either way, you're pissed. Like, don't fucking write a song about this. If it was true, which, you know, probably not, but if it was true, it's like, you don't put this out there. I'm not proud of this. And if it is made up, then it's like, why the fuck would you ever say this? Like, I don't know. That's crazy. So yeah, a minute and 32 seconds, and it says a lot. I mean, I didn't read all the lyrics. There's more to it. He's just going from the start talking about fucking his sister. Crazy ass song. And now it's time to get to the very last song on this album, Party Up. We're going to go to the middle, actually. Jump to the middle. I swear I jumped to the middle. You can't tell. So, this is probably my least favorite song on the album. It's just kind of, it's okay. It's just a little dance ditty. We got a party up. It's explicit. I don't know why, actually, this one's explicit, but it's okay. This song's okay. And that's how they end the album. So it's 8 songs. They talk about pretty much everything. He just goes into everything. I think the beats are super funky, and I think it starts off, you know, I didn't know much about Prince besides 1999 starting this show, and now I'm learning more and more about him, and this one didn't know existed, and this one's fucking wild. The album cover, look at that. He's wearing some, like, briefs or something. Like, he's, you know... He's out there. He doesn't give a fuck. And that's what I kind of like about Prince, is he doesn't really seem to give a fuck. He just does stuff. Jenny, she sent me this note about Prince. And this wasn't about this album, but just in general. We text a lot during the day. Wow. Okay, here we go. This is during the Super Bowl show. Make it bigger. Okay, so this is just something that she thought was interesting, and I thought it's crazy. So during Prince's Super Bowl halftime show in 2007, volunteers accidentally ran over and severed 3 power cables during the stage setup. So a member of the lighting crew stripped the ends and held the cables in place by hand for the entire 12-minute show, and it started raining, if you remember. We started playing Purple Rain, it actually started raining. Can you imagine? The whole entire Super Bowl halftime show is just by one guy holding, like, hoping for the best. That's fucking crazy. Wild. Anyways, I thought that was interesting. And thank you, Jenny, for sending me that little tidbit. Okay, so let's see what Rolling Stone said about this, and then I'll let you know what I thought about it. Man, I hope the audio works. If this is doubled, I'm going to be really bummed out. I don't know if I have a third one in me, y'all. Okay. Dirty Mind by Prince, number 326. A mix of slinky funk, synth-driven rock, jittery pop, and sexual innuendo, Dirty Mind was Prince's first great album, even if it only hinted at where he was headed. White, black, Puerto Rican, everybody is just a freakin', he sang on Uptown, an utopian ode to the Minneapolis club scene. The album includes the world's meterest Done Me Wrong song, When You Were Mine, and the incest ditty, Sister. I wasn't being deliberately provocative, Prince said. I was being deliberately me. So I do think that this album is what started Prince becoming Prince. Like this is where he kind of found his self and his way and where he was going to go in the future. And because of this album, Purple Rain exists. So that's kind of how I see it. You know, when I did this album the first time, I gave it a 3. But doing it again and listening to these songs one last time and kind of sitting on it for a couple days, I think I'm going to give it a 3.5. I think the beginning of this is... All the beginning of all the songs are really good. It is wild and it is very taboo, but I think that that's kind of what Prince is all about. So I think I enjoyed it more listening to it today one last time. So that's Dirty Mind. Now let's talk about the song Portion for Foxes by the band Rilo Kiley. I had it loaded up, but let's try to get it again. Portions for Foxes. Okay. Oh, I guess I spelled this wrong. Let's just type in Rilo Kiley. Why am I trying to spell portions? Who do I think I am? Rilo Kiley. Now, Rilo Kiley is a band that I have seen live so many times. Back in the early 2000s, 2003, 4, 5, 6, 7, super into Rilo Kiley, and more importantly, super into Jenny Lewis, who I had the biggest crush on. I was, you know, Jenny Lewis was it for me. I will say, you know, seeing them live so many times, this is a band that I've just always loved. I will say, though, that this is not their best song. I mean, it's a good song, but it's not their best song. This is not off their best album. Their best album, if you liked this song and you never heard of Rilo Kiley before, I really recommend Rilo Kiley's The Execution of All Things, that album. Like, every song on that album is fucking great. And I'm almost positive. Let's find out, actually, if Rilo Kiley's even on this greatest of list. I don't think so. Let's see. We got Robin. Robin's on here, but Rilo Kiley, I don't see. No, no. Dang, the Rolling Stones are on here a lot. We're gonna have to. The odds. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. I haven't gotten them once. I also think this is my 50th episode, so that means we've listened to 10% of this book. We've gone through. I'm proud of us. That's a big accomplishment, everyone. Thank you so much for sticking with me for 50 albums. That's a lot. But yeah, I don't think our Rilo Kiley made the list. So if you want extra credit, if you want to check out The Execution of All Things, let me know what you think of that too. I fucking love that album. I love that album. So, but let's listen to a little bit of Portion for Foxes by Rilo Kiley. See what we think. Let's cut to the lyrics a little bit ahead. And let's hop love Jenny Lewis. My goodness. I love her voice so much. So actually, Jenny got me, my Jenny, got me tickets to see her live. And I'm going to see her in like a couple days. I think in less than a week, I'm going to a Jenny Lewis concert. And I'm very excited. I haven't seen Jenny Lewis solo before. I've only seen Rilo Kiley before. So anyways, so Portion for Foxes from the band Rilo Kiley. I don't think they're probably on here again, but I think you play this song in Rock Band too. I love this song. This to me and this band, I give this song a 4.5. But again, check out Execution of All Things if you like that song and you want to hear more Rilo Kiley. Really recommend that album. Okay. I think we did it. Now, this is the part where I pick out of the bag. And let me tell you, I went back and forth so many times because I've already done it. I've already picked the album on the one that didn't work. And my thought was, do I pick it again? I've already listened to that album once. What do I do? I have decided to hold true. If I put it back in the bag, I feel like people will be like, well, what was it? You know, so what we're going to do is I'm just going to do it. You have to trust me that I actually pulled it out of the bag, which I did. I did. Okay, so that was 326. The one I just picked last time I recorded this was 345, which is right here. And it is, well, I know it's Bruce Springsteen, which, you know, I Bruce Springsteen, I've been on record on this show of not fully understanding what Bruce Springsteen. I don't quite get the fervor. Is that a word? About him. But I'm happy to learn about it. I'm assuming he's on this album, this book a lot. So this album is The Wild, The Innocent, and The E Street Shuffle, 1973, Bruce Springsteen. So we're going to listen to that. I've already listened to it once. I'm ahead of the game. Usually I'm not, but now I'm ahead of it. And the song is by, by Carole King. What song is it, though? It's Too Late. Now, that song I do know, Carole King rules. So I'm excited to listen to that some more. So listen to The Wild, The Innocent, and the I keep getting texts. I apologize, everyone. There's some Padres news, and Eric and Brian are texting me a lot about it. So I'll find out what that is later. I'll let you know. But The Wild, The Innocent, and the E Street Shuffle, 1973. Carole King, It's Too Late. And thank you so much. And please let me know if this audio situation is okay. If you're not from the U.S. and you listen to Record Club, is it okay to just listen to it and not have the video? I can't imagine you want to see my face that bad. But let me know. Thank you, everyone. Thanks for subbing to Patreon. And God, I hope this worked. I'll see you next week.